When churches start off, they have to have a real significant understanding of they're doing the right thing. They understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. To understand what I'm trying to say to you is that when a church front, when it starts off, they have to know, are we doing what God wants us to do? And if we don't know that and we're not acting like God wants us to, what happens to us is that we know that we're going to fail. We know that we've got to go out and reach people. We know that we've got to do things and not in the ways that need to be done, but we've got certain things that we need to do if we're going to reach people and we're going to, if the church is going to make it. And every church that starts off has to understand, how are we going to make it? How are we going to end up making it? Are we going to make it or are we going to fail? And most people, you know, in fact, I don't know of anybody else that wouldn't want to succeed. They all want to succeed in this. And so the church starts off doing the right things, but it generally doesn't take very long before we start switching over to let's do all the things right. And we start forgetting about doing the right things. If you understand what I'm saying, it's amazing to me how we have taken things in the church that were, we thought they were the, there were things right, and we made them sacred. We said, well, you have to do them this way. For example, I had a pastor that I worked with. One Sunday, he told the church, he said, you know, it's too hot between Memorial Day to Labor Day. He said, we're not going to wear coats and ties this summer. And you couldn't believe the firestorm of people that came up against him. Was that things right? Yes. Was it, I mean, that was right things? Yes. Was it things right? To them, it was not. And you see, if you didn't do the things right, you were evil. I remember that there's another church, not a church I served in. The city renamed the street that the church was on, and the church was named after the street. And they wouldn't change their name. You understand? And nobody could find the church. They couldn't find the church because they'd look for that street name. And they weren't on that street name because they changed the name of the street. And the people kept saying, but you know, we know where it is. Here's the thing I want to say to people. If you are a real follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, it's not about you. I would like to say that to them. And then, obviously, for a long time, churches threw big fits when they found out there's going to be a guitar and a drum in a worship service. And we had worship wars that went on for a long time because they said, that's not the things right. That may be the right thing because it was reaching people. See, and those who have claimed that that we should keep the things the way they are, we're saying that they are superior to those people who want to change things. See, we're doing it because we love Jesus and they don't love Jesus. And I've heard everything. I mean, honestly, I've heard from they're going toward entertainment. They're going toward marketing. They're going through whatever it is. I've heard them when the people came to me and said, the pastor said, we're not going to wear coats and ties from Memorial Day to Labor Day. I was always taught to wear the best I have. And I said, well, then if that's the real case, then you need to buy the best you can too. No, no, you just wear the best. I said, no. You don't understand. You need to take that to where it logically goes. That's not what it's all about. That's not what it's all about, to wear the best clothes. Now, I agree with respectful clothes and clean clothes, but quite frankly, I don't see that. And I told them this. And, you know, and the church that wouldn't change the name, they said, well, it's always stood for Christ. Well, it doesn't stand for Christ or not stand for Christ because of its name. The street isn't named it. People couldn't find it because of that. They didn't want to come but didn't want to. And I've heard them say that the guitars and the drums, I said this last week, were of the devil. And I'm going, that's just baloney. See, those who hold these things claim that they have a superior faith. They hold to these things that they claim that that's a falling away from the faith. These other people are falling away from the faith. But the bottom line is that what happens to us after we get through the Lordship of Jesus Christ phase, what we do is that we want to keep things exactly the same as they are. And somehow we believe that if we can go back to 1955, everything's going to be great. You know, I think that's what we believe. Because we say if we could just do it like we did in 1955, everything is going to be just absolutely wonderful. And the problem that you have is two things. One, it's not 1955, and these are not 1955 people out there. That's the case. And so what happens is they want to remain comfortable. But being comfortable is a great danger to the church today. It is a great danger to the church. I'm going to preach on this in a couple of more weeks than this, but I want to say this as a precursor to that. If you are going to go out and reach people for Jesus Christ, it will not be comfortable. And if you're looking for comfort in that, you're looking in the wrong place. It is not going to be comfortable. Let's look at what the scripture says, what was going on with the people at when Paul was writing to them in Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, I talked about this a little bit last week. The Jews had festivals and feasts and other religious observances. We don't really know what Paul was addressing here. We don't know if he was addressing the fact that the Jews had all of those and the Gentiles didn't. Or whether they're simply as simple as this. The Gentiles don't see any reason to worship on Saturday. They see the need to worship on Sunday. It could be something as simple as that. I don't know what it was. But can you imagine the difficulty of these Jews trying to understand that what they had was a religion, and now they wanted to have a relationship. That what they had was a religion, and now they're going to have a lordship issue. They got the lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, they got to do what Jesus wants them to do, not follow along with what was comfortable and has been comfortable for a long time. See, for us in a Baptist church, we have made the emphasis on two things that we have in our church. One is we have two ordinances. They are not sacraments. Understand the difference in a Baptist church. These are not sacraments. They are ordinances. They are the Lord's Supper and baptism. See, these are, in themselves, they can merely be a religious observance. But what they can be is they can be the right thing. They can be because we have the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But when we get down to it, we start arguing about the method of baptism. Should we be immersed, dipped, poured, or sprinkled? Did you know that Baptists have practiced all of those? We don't hear that much, do we? And they still do, by the way. If you want to know the absolute truth on that, I'll tell you the certain circumstances when they are, if you ask me sometime. And so, should we argue about how the Lord's Supper is administered? Now we're not passing it out like we used to. We're getting it at the door. Should we get the cup and the bread together? You know, one place I was in, the pastor, he just made a mistake. That's all it is. And it's not necessarily a mistake. He just did it this way. He did the juice before the bread. Did you know people came to me and said, you need to go talk to him about apologizing to the church for doing it that way? I thought, what? I said, one, it was not what he intended to do. He realized he'd done it after he'd done it. And secondly, the thing about it is that do you really think that's what the Lord's Supper is all about? That we do it in a certain order? And I said, or what about this? Should we have real wine and not grape juice? Do you think that's what it's all about? No, it isn't what it's all about. So what we need to do is what it says here in the scripture. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Convinced of what? That he's doing it correctly, or is it something else? Let's go on to Romans chapter 14, 6. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats in honor of the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. Now, what does it say there? Whatever we do in honor of the Lord. This is what we need to be convinced of. We need to be convinced that we're doing what we're doing to honor the Lord. That is the right thing. That's a lordship issue, not a things right, which is more of a religious issue. See, this does not say that you're more spiritual if you do it one way or the other. Whether you sprinkle, or you pour, or you dip, or you immerse, there's no one's more spiritual than the other, because those are just the way that we do them. See, I've been personally critical of those who didn't do things the Baptist way. We immerse when we baptize. But do you really believe, I'm going to ask you this, that when you get to heaven, they're going to look for where the water level went on you? And you say, no, didn't go all the way. Sorry. We're going to let that person into heaven. Do you really believe that's going to be the question that's going to be asked? Did you go all the way under? That's the question I have. No, the Lord is what? Looking at the heart. And there have been people who have been dipped or sprinkled or poured, and they've had the right kind of heart in which they had their baptism. And there have been people who have been immersed who didn't have the right kind of heart when they were baptized. And so what I would say to you is, it is not the way things are done, but the heart that does them. That's really what it counts for. And that's going to be important when we do the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. See, I have baptized people who were baptized in other denominations because my church always said, you got to do that. And it says, I myself was baptized in another denomination and then came and was baptized in a Baptist church. I'll tell you up front, this is what I have done. See, the problem that I had wasn't that I wasn't baptized. My problem was I didn't do it with the right heart in the first place. I'll tell you up front. I did not do it. I only did it because my friends were going to join the church. And in order to join the church, I had to be baptized. And so I came and said, I'll go ahead and be baptized so that I can join the church and I won't get left behind by my friends. Later, I gave my life to the Lord. And when I gave my life to the Lord, I knew for obedience sake, I needed to be baptized. And it was just a matter of obedience on me. And so I came forward into church. I said, I need to be baptized. And I said, I thought to myself, I need to do this simply because I need to be obedient. I need to do it in a way that honors the Lord. I need to know that my heart honors the Lord. And I didn't expect anything to happen at my baptism. I want you to understand, Dr. Malcolm Bain baptized me at First Baptist Church in College Station, Texas. And I got up out of that water and it was like I had a weight lifted off of me. I had done what the Lord told me to. It was a lordship issue for me, not things right. It was the right thing. You understand, this is what happened with me. And I want to say to people that all the time, I said, did you do it? Not did you do it in the right way, but did you do it because it was the thing that you should have done? Is it the right thing? And what I hadn't done the right thing before. I did the right thing. And I was released from that. I'm just telling my own personal experience. Romans chapter 14, 7. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. See, here's what it says here. We act based on whom we belong to. We're going to act based on whom we belong. If we belong to ourselves, we're going to act in order to please ourselves. If we live to the Lord and he is our Lord, then what we're going to do is that we're going to live according to whom we belong to, and that is the Lord. So what it's saying here is that we act upon whom we belong to, but we live to the Lord. We celebrate our forgiveness and our relationship with the Lord. We recognize our walk with Him. We know the joy of serving Him. And we know what it is for Him to be our Lord. And if you're not living for the Lord if He's not your Lord. That's the bottom line on all of this. There are so many Christians that are living miserable lives. One of the reasons is because they're very religious and Jesus is not their Lord. They're doing the things right, but they're not doing the right things. They're not listening to the Lord to tell them what to do. And what happens to them is there's an emptiness that is there. And so that what happens within a lot of Christians is that they are just as worldly in the church as they would be outside the church. And even though it may not look like it because they go through the religious rituals give them pride, which is of the world. The religious rituals, give them a status and all of the stuff that the religious rituals will do. And what happens is they're not doing what the Lord wants them to do. And what happens to somebody when they don't do what the Lord wants them to do? They get mean. They get mean. Have you ever noticed that in a church sometimes you can find the meanest people you've never seen anywhere else? They're not doing what the Lord told them to, so they get mean. I got to tell you something. I'm going to confess this to you. I've got to watch my tongue. I say things that I shouldn't say. I mean, I'll say something about somebody. I mean, because it'll be like that, and I've already said it. And did you know you can't gobble back your words? You can't get them back in your mouth. I had this lady, she was mean as a snake in one of the churches I was in. She would tell people stuff that was so mean that you couldn't believe it. There was one lady that came into the church and as the lady walked up, she said to her, she says, "How many people did you run away from the church this week?" You know, that's real Christian of her, wasn't it? Well, anyway, when she got really sick one time, and then she was in the hospital, and they called me. And they said, "She wants you to come to the hospital real quick. She's sick. She thinks she might be going to die." I said, "She's not going to die. She's too mean to die." I worked with a guy that got out of maximum security prison in Kansas one time. And he told me that if he got arrested to go back to Kansas, he was going to break out and he was going to commit a felony in Texas so that they would throw him in a Texas prison. I said, "Why? Is a Kansas prison or a Texas prison?" And he said, "Because in Kansas, in Texas, they make you work. You work in the fields all day long. You come in, the prisoners are good toward each other. They're fine toward each other. But out there in Kansas, they don't make you work at all." And he said, "I've been in a Kansas prison." He says, "They just get meaner and meaner and meaner." I'm just telling you what happens, folks. People that don't do what the Lord tells them to, they don't get sweeter and sweeter. They get meaner and meaner. So we live to the Lord, and then we die to the Lord. Some things that we do for the Lord require sacrifice. In other words, so much of a sacrifice, we have to die to our own desires in order to do what the Lord wants us to do. And so what we do is that we have to say, "I don't hold on to anything. The Lord has it all. Therefore, I can do whatever the Lord tells me to do." And that may mean a sacrifice where I die to myself. We have in churches become so concerned with the number of people who attend that we haven't told the truth to so many people as they come to church. But let me say this. When you become a Christian, Jesus needs to be your Lord. That means you'll do anything that He calls you to do. That's really what it means. And it's not about working for your salvation. It's just the commitment that is required for that salvation. I receive Jesus as my Lord, not just Savior, but Lord. And becoming a Christian is a commitment of oneself without reservation. It's without reservation. And you say, "I will go wherever you tell me to go, Lord. I will do whatever you want me to do." And it will mean times where you'll sacrifice time and money and physical pleasures and esteem and anything else that it takes to do what the Lord has called you to do. It is accepting what Jesus has for you. You will never find the joy of the Lord holding on to the world. You will only find the joy of the Lord by following after the Lord without reservation. It means that you will accept what the Lord has called you to do and reject what the Lord has not called you to do. An example of that is I told you before, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be a missionary to China. They weren't sending missionaries to China, but that didn't bother me. I figured that if God wanted me there, he'd figure out a way to get me there. So I decided that I would go to Ridgecrest. That was a Baptist encampment down in North Carolina. And Keith Parks was preaching there. Keith Parks was the head of the Foreign Mission Board at that time. And I'd heard Keith Parks preach before, and every sermon he preaches is, "You are called to be a missionary." I mean, I knew what the sermons were. I mean, I heard him several times. And I said, what a great place for me to go down there and receive the call of God to go and be a missionary. So I went to the Foreign Missions Week. It's called International Missions Week, I'm sure now. But anyway, I went down there, and I sat there, and I said, "I'm ready, Lord. Go ahead and call me. Go ahead and call me. Invitation game. Go ahead and call me, Lord. I'm ready. Maybe tomorrow night. Okay, Lord, I'm ready." And I did it again. "No, maybe tomorrow night." And I did it all the way through. And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know what's going wrong here. I want to go. Why shouldn't he call me?" So I said, "Well, maybe I'm making too big a deal of this. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just apply anyway. I'll apply to be a foreign missionary." And so I sent in my stuff, started the application process, and every time, there were so many forms to fill out. You have to realize it's like 14 steps before you can get there, but it said at the very bottom, "Describe your calling to foreign missions." I left it blank, and I left it blank, and I left it blank. You know, and you're going down the steps, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still not doing it. They send a representative from the International Mission Board to come talk to me. And they sat down and they talked to me about, "Tell us your calling." And I had to say, "I don't have one." They said, "Well, then, could it be you're not called to do this?" And I had to admit it. But if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you do what he tells you to do, and you don't do what he tells you not to do. You understand what I'm saying? It's not always you go. It's not always you do. You respond to what he says. So whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9. "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." The conclusion of this passage reveals that the Lordship of Jesus goes beyond this life. Does that blow some of you away? He lived, or he died, and he lived again. He is the Lord of the people who die, and he's the Lord of the people who are alive. I think a lot of people think, when I get to heaven, I can do whatever I want to. I don't have any more lordship issues. He's the Lord in heaven, as well as the Lord that we have here. And what we have to do is we have to listen to the Lord and walk along with the Lord. Again, one of my stories of what I shouldn't have said. I went out inviting people to church one time, and I was just going door to door, and I was just, you know, knocking on some doors, and some doors I was just seeing people in their yard. This lady saw me. She was working in her flower bed, and she said, "What are you selling?" I said, "I'm not selling anything. I'm just inviting people to church." She's an older lady. She said, "I went to church once. Didn't like it much." And I said, "Bet you won't like hell either." You know, my tongue is much smaller than it used to be because I keep biting it off. Fortunately, she didn't hear me. I mean, or at least I don't think she heard me. She didn't say anything. You know, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Jesus is the Lord of the living. He's the Lord of the dead. You're not, when you get to heaven, there will be a Lord there. If you go to hell, there won't be a Lord there. But that's what you're going to get. Even Christian thinks it's all over when this life is over. I believe that if they knew there was a Lord in heaven waiting for them, they might act a little different here. because there's a Lord waiting for us. I believe they would live a life unto the Lord because they would have a death unto the Lord. It's not going to be just the way that you had it here when you get to this place called heaven, because heaven has that same Lord. See, if you're not experiencing the Lord of heaven here, then there's a good chance you're not going to be experiencing the Lord at all. You have to come to some spot in your life that you have to say, Jesus is my Lord. I will do whatever he calls me to do. You know what happened? If you don't, maybe you don't really have a Lord. Maybe all you have is religion. Maybe that's all you have. But would you trade your religion in so that you would belong to the Lord? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you.